Welcome back, Pick Sports Line, Bob and Hugh, till 7 o'clock tonight here on the radio. And as we promised, our guest on the phone from Harrisburg is State Representative Aaron Bernstein. And I'll read from his Twitter bio. He's a Christian, a husband, a dad, a businessman, sports fan, outdoorsman, government reform advocate. And to be truthful, Representative Bernstein, before maybe April, I never even heard of you before. So the fact that you're on this program tells me that you're doing a lot to try to make some impact here in this state.
Hey, Bob, we're trying, my friend. But I always tell whenever I come on sports shows and we're talking about this, I didn't tell you guys this ahead of time. The only deal I'm making is you have to invite me back on later to talk just about college football. So that's got to be the deal.
Well, just so you're clear, we're both very big Pitt fans here, so that impacts you. We just wanted you to be aware of that.
Well, I teach at Pitt, one class, but I'm a Penn Stater. I got my MBA at Pitt, but I tell you what a great rivalry, and it'll be a shame to see that end, but I'm really hopeful we can renew that with Pitt and Penn State down the road.
You mentioned Penn State, by the way. I was, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but somebody told me over the weekend that your father had some influence and impact locally here in our backyard at Penn State Chenango. Is that accurate?
Yeah, he was a my dad graduated from started at Penn State Chenango. I started at Penn State Chenango. We actually started a scholarship there for some kids that needed some help. It was my family with my wife and I and my son Dirks and also my parents. And, you know, we just think it's important to try to give back whatever we can. And I tell you what, Penn State Chenango, how about the basketball program that started there? Boy, that guy's done one heck of a job, hasn't he?
Yeah, we're very excited. We carry all their games. So it's been a great partnership between Penn State and our radio station. You're a busy guy. I mean, you have a family. You're a busy guy. You have a lot on your plate when it comes to the day-to-day politics of this state. Why did you get involved with the world of the PIAA, which has been a world that has been hard to figure out over the last five decades?
Yeah, I would say almost as hard to figure out as the NCAA, right? And one of the things that I found is ever since I was in, and I'm a Union Scotty guy, so from Newcastle, Pennsylvania, super small public school. And, you know, I heard this back when, you know, everything from elementary to middle school to high school, where the disparity is you're talking about the issues between public and private schools. And, you know, that's changed over time. And people have had those issues over time. But, you know, what I said was is the following. This has been an issue since 1972 that people have been working to try to figure out. And I think part of the issue with that is, and this is just a political reality of what we're in, and I think what has been before, people weren't willing to sit down, discuss things, and try to figure out a real solution. And, you know, sometimes you take heat when you try to take big issues on. I've taken heat on this. We've taken heat on other big issues. That's okay, though. People didn't hire me to sidestep the big issues. They hired me to try to jump in and fix some things and make things a little bit better tomorrow than they are today.
I'm curious, when was the first time or the first conversation you've had with whomever you've worked with? It might be Bill Hall or Len Rich or somebody else that we're not aware of. When did this all take place, and what were they hoping for by getting your help?
Well, here's the thing. It was about a year ago. This has been a year in the works where we've kept it really out of the spotlight. I don't think you need to fight these battles out in the public, because people then draw hard lines in the sand. And we sat down and we said, okay, what are the things that everybody from the private schools want? And what are the things that everybody from the public schools want? And we wrote all those things down on a whiteboard, right? And ultimately then we said, okay, what are some of the things that are most important to you, right? What's your number one ask here? And we went through those and we worked through the process collectively and built relationships over time where there was a trust factor involved. And listen, if I was king for a day, and, you know, and I tell people all the time, and, you know, don't take this, I hope people don't take this the wrong way, but, you don't always get what you want in this business. And you don't always propose things that are like, oh, this is exactly what I want to happen. But rather you propose things that can get 102 members of the House of Representatives, they can get 26 members of the Senate, and they can get the governor to sign it. And if you don't do things and propose things that can get those three things to happen, then we're back at square one where absolutely nothing occurred. So that's how we came to the formation of this legislation, which is compromised. Like I said, it's not exactly what I want. I could talk to you an hour about exactly what I want, but you know, I think at the end of the day, this is a step in the right direction, and we're trying to move the ball forward and at least start something that hasn't been able to be done in the last 40 plus years.
I had tweeted over the weekend one question that I brought up dealing with having one voice representing this issue across the state, and I had mentioned a couple months ago, Representative Conklin also came out with a plan to split and had some ideas. And why or maybe you did, but why wouldn't you and Representative Conklin and others join forces to have one unified voice, maybe combine some of the ideas and go after this once and for all?
No, so that happens a lot here. And the thing I like about Harrisburg is this is not a Washington, D.C. where people don't talk and get along. That's just not what happens here. We have Democratic co-sponsors on it. We have Republican co-sponsors on it. I'm not sure if Representative Conklin's on it or if he's even seen the thing that come across. Listen, at the end of the day, I think Representative Conklin's bill's fine. And I'm not sure if I'm a co-sponsor on it or not. I think I probably am. This is something that's a little bit different, though. Representative Conklin's bill was a piece of legislation that said it would allow the ability for the PIAA to make that change between public and private, right?
Yes.
The problem is the PIAA has came out in very, very, very strong terms said that they will not make that move, even if they had the right to make that move. So, you know, I think we have to force that legislatively, and that's why we've taken this approach. And this is bigger than just separate playoff brackets. It also has things in there that say that additional teams can be added and how they can be added. It changes the governance. I think you and I may or may not have went back and forth on that. The changes the governance on the PIAA board. The PIAA board has a major governance issue in the way they operate, in the way that changes are made. So this allows changes to be made in a variety of different ways. And I think it moves us forward on the issue.
Now, you mentioned the governance, and that it leads to my next question. Do you have any regrets of not maybe working with the Oversight Committee, which has been put into place for a long time now, the Pennsylvania Athletic Oversight Committee, maybe working with them in putting together something, because it seemed they were not very happy to be kind of blindsided by all this?
Well, a couple things. Number one, most of them weren't blindsided. I covered several conversations with several people on there. But, you know, here's what I'd share with you. A lot of times in politics, people are put in those positions because they're yes men. And I'm not to say there's some on there who are and there's some on there who are not, okay? But when you start a meeting and you open up the meeting and you say, I want to talk about how great the PIAA is and how much they help our student athletes, we're probably not on the same page from the very beginning, right? I think you attack issues in a variety of different ways. We have numerous committees here in the House of Representatives, but you don't just introduce bills and work on things that have to do with the committee that you're on. So, for example, I'm not on an energy committee, okay? But if there's something that is important to my district as it deals with energy and gas drilling, that's something that I'm going to propose. You don't necessarily go and talk to everybody on those committees ahead of time. So it's just not something that typically works like that.
And I'll be honest, I've one of the pride and joys of my professional life is I have bragged about it professionally on Twitter that I am a politically free zone when I go on my Twitter, and I don't talk politics. So getting to this realm kind of makes my stomach queasy, to tell you the truth, because it's
mine too.
And you understand. And I think it's a point where I look at it and I say, is there a better way to resolve this? And I keep bringing up the example where in Ohio, and I'm about 5 miles from the state of Ohio, so
yeah.
We hear what they do all the time. And I keep reminding, and I've reminded you, and I remind a lot of people that in Ohio, the member schools have the ability to vote on everything dealing with their own athletics. They voted on 24 referendums about a month ago, and I really do believe that if somehow the PIAA can change their constitution to allow member schools to vote on this, we could maybe take you and the legislators out of the equation and let the member schools decide their own fates.
Hey, so first and foremost, I'm a big-time small government guy, okay? I think government gets in the way and causes a whole lot more problems than solutions in most of our lives and in a variety of different ways. But what I would tell you is that hasn't happened since 1972. And people have been asking for that change since 1972. And, at the end of the day, it's going to take legislative action, I think, for those people to behave in a manner that puts students first. And if it takes that, then so be it. You know, trust me, I would much rather that the PIAA handle themselves in a way that protects student athletes and protects children. Remember, this isn't Penn State we're talking about. This isn't the Steelers we're talking about. These are children, right? I mean, they're 14, 15, 16-year-old children. So would I much rather they do things right on their own? You're darn right. Unfortunately, they've failed to meet that obligation. And that's why I've worked collectively with those school districts in order to come up with a different resolution.
We're speaking with PA State Representative Aaron Bernstein of the 10th District, which is Lawrence County, Beaver County, Butler County, right here in our backyard. And I've been following this, and we've done this show here on this station for almost 30 years plus, and we've been in many discussions. We've had Len Rich and John Sarandry on this program. We've had PIAA members. And what got me almost off my chair when I read the bill, and which is still hard for me to digest because I'm very cognizant of this entire matter and I've followed it from all angles, is some of the compromise that is very difficult to digest, as in for a decade the Catholic Conference said if there is a sniff of a separation, we will sue. The PIAA stayed away from that. And now all of a sudden we find out that they have compromised because they benefit greatly by this new legislation and they're not so concerned about splitting anymore. So I know it's political, but I'm very skeptical about some of these parts of it because I've heard the drums being beat for so many months and years by all these parties, and now I just have a hard time digesting it.
Well, here's the thing, and I think this is the most important thing for people to understand. Number one, do nothing is an option, okay? And not only is do nothing an option, meaning nothing legislatively, but it's also the easiest option to happen. So that just means in 2020 and then in 2021 and 22 and et cetera, we'll have the same exact system that we've had the year before and the year before that and all the way back to 1972. So for somebody to give things up, they're going to want things in return. That's just natural, right? And I think what you're talking about is the transfer rule, and I'm happy to discuss that at length as well. So, you know, I think basically, and that's just politics, that's life. You know, if you want something in return, if you're going to give something up, you want something in return. This is about consensus building and bringing people together. And am I surprised they came to the table? A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, they're going to get things out of it, and the public schools are going to get things out of it. But remember, at the end of the day, we can always do nothing, and do nothing is the exact same thing that's happened that people have been talking about for the last 30, or, you know, 40-plus years. And I know that makes for good radio and good media, but I think we'd all like to try to get this handled and fixed.
Now, how do you respond when you hear the public schools, and I've heard from some here lately, and the criticism that comes out with this bill that says that the public schools get the short end of the stick because, one, they still have to play the charter schools in the playoffs, and two, the transfer rule in a lot of cases may hurt them because it will open the door for some of the smaller public schools to lose athletes to some of the more high-profile and more successful programs. How do you respond to that part of it?
Yeah, so it's a real easy one on the charter school thing. Now, that was not my preference. I think the charter schools should be in with the private schools, okay? The problem is in Pennsylvania school code, a charter school is a public school. So there's no way, without opening the entire Pennsylvania school code, that you could change that. If I opened the school code tomorrow and we introduced a bill that did that and changed the school code, we'd probably have anywhere between 500 and 750 amendments on the bill. It would never get a vote. So that is what it is, because the charters, by definition, by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, are public schools. That's the political reality of that. When you talk about the transfer rule, it's very simply. Are they willing to give that up for something that they've complained on since 1972 or not? And they can make that decision for themselves. But remember, this is the first real option they've had to make a decision on. So, you know, you can't continue to think that you're going to get something without giving something up. It just doesn't work like that. And if that's the route that they want to go, that's fine. But then they're going to have to, you know, quit complaining every time they come around and waiting for the golden goose to happen. You know, you got to give something to get something.
Now, the main dollar question, I'm sure people are listening are saying, okay, this is great. We've heard about House Bill 1600. It was presented. Where does it stand right now? And what is the possibility that it will be voted on before June 30th? And if not, where does it go from here?
Well, it won't be before June 30th, I can tell you that, just because of the way the committee schedules are and those types of things. We're still gathering feedback from public school districts, and we're still, you know, hearing from the individual folks. And I want to hear from them, are you willing to give things up to get what you want? So to me, it's that. And if they agree to that, then that's great. I think it'll move forward in a pretty quick manner. But this is really up to the public schools. They have a choice to make of whether they want to solve an issue and try something differently that hasn't been able to be solved, you know, for the last 40-plus years. And when we talk about the transfer, I'll tell you, I had a conversation. I won't tell you who it is, and please don't say the young man's name, because I was back and forth with him on Twitter. I just don't want to put him out there in the public necessarily. But who was kept out and has to sit out an entire year from transferring from a public to a public school in football, okay? This is a 16-year-old child that now is going to have serious issues, whether that's from a scholarship standpoint, those types of things. Kids are being hurt by this transfer rule because it is enforced in a manner that is terribly inconsistent. So even if it's not perfect in what we're trying to do here, what we do know is it will be consistent. And I think consistency is what people are really after for in life.
Well, I don't know if you heard about the most egregious transfer that I can remember in recent memory happened before this school year. And to this moment, I still can't believe it even happened. A school up in District 10 challenged the eligibility of an eighth grade girl that was transferring to another school. Now, let me just say it again, an eighth grade girl. And ultimately, that young lady was ineligible to play a junior high school basketball because of the Pitaway rule. So I completely understand some of the rules.
What were we talking? A 14-year-old, 13-year-old child?
Yes. And
I mean, that's out of control, right? Like, what in the world are we doing as a society when we are holding children accountable for the behavior of adults? I just, that's one of those things. And I understand people have a different view on it, because sports brings out passion in people. But I tell you what, I would never want my child to be held accountable for things that I do, good or bad. Let these young people stand on their own. Let them go and try to do things, make a great impact. And remember what we're talking about. We're talking about high school sports. Nobody's even that good, okay? They're not going to play professional sports, most of them. This provides an opportunity for them to learn about life, to learn about skills, and we ought not to hurt children because of the decisions of adults.
Just to clarify, did you say that you've been talking to a lot of public schools? Does that indicate that the bill itself could be altered if you hear from enough that don't like parts of it, or is the bill right now pretty much set in stone?
No, I mean, I think there's room, and there's always room for minor adjustment as we go. But one of the things that some of them have come to me with, and it's just not realistic, is they say, well, we want separate playoffs. We want charters in the other side, okay? And we're not willing to give anything up. That's not reasonable in what we're trying to do here, because do nothing is an option. and the do nothing is the easiest option, right? So, you know, if we do nothing, nothing happens. So I think, you know, this is a situation where public schools and private schools, we need to continue that conversation, continue to work what's best. But once again, here's the thing, Bob. I don't really care about the private schools. I don't really care about the public schools. I really care about these 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old children and what are the things that we can do to provide them the best avenue for success moving forward.
I'll ask you one more question. I'll let you go. What happens if one of two things occur? One, the bill is brought to vote and it's voted down, or the bill never is brought to vote. What happens after this if this bill and your ideas all don't go forward?
Well, you know, I think you can always go back and you can look at things and what you can change and what you can do. But here's what I'd say. If the private schools stay on board and the public schools are willing to give things up and stay on board and the private schools are willing to give things up and stay on board, there's really no reason that why we shouldn't be able to move forward with this. Too many times in this building, I'm still in the Capitol in my office right now, and too many times in this building, I think we put these special interests and large groups ahead of people. This is about the young man who isn't able to play football as a junior because of decisions that adults made. This is about the eighth grade girl that transferred and was challenged by a principal. You know, these are the things that are just ludicrous, and we as a society really ought to step up. I'll tell you, the feedback that I've gotten from the general public on this has been exceptional. The feedback I've gotten from the sports nuts has been very focused on the sports aspect. Really, most people on this really just care about kids.
And I think ultimately that's kind of the way I position it. I think there's a lot of this is good. I think ultimately, and I've made this statement many times, I've been covering PWA for 32 years, and I long for the day where we can just go cover sports and we take this part out of it, the politics out of it. He transferred out of it. He got a kid in. I mean, ultimately it's about the kids, and it's about their opportunities in their life. And as a parent, you're a parent. Whose right is it to tell me as a parent where my kid can go to school, and why should you take that away from them? I think you have a lot of good parts about this. I think some of it makes it maybe a little bit too much noise. I think that may be one of my complaints. Maybe too much part of it, there's too much meat on it. And I think if it was focused a little bit for some of the big stories, I think there's a much better chance. But whatever happens, Representative Bernstein, we're here. We'd love to talk to you again, and we appreciate you giving us some time tonight to chat.
Well, thanks, Bob, and always welcome for your feedback on this. And like I said, you give me a ring. You have my info, or shoot me a thing on Twitter after the Penn State Pitt game. If Penn State wins, I'll be happy to come on and jab you. If Pitt wins, I'm not going to respond to you. How's that?
Well, if Penn State wins, you won't hear from me. So I'll just make it simple on that. But no, we appreciate that, and definitely we'll chat sometime down the road.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. Representative Aaron Bernstein of District 10. We'll actually, is he District 10?
No, he's not District 10.
He is the 10th district.
He's the 10th district, but I don't think he represents District 7 WPIAL. But
it's actually kind of coincidental on that. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to bring us back and get you respond.
Yeah, I've been the listener, and I've definitely been listening, and I have a couple of things I do want to say. But you're the one who has done the research on this, Bob. This is your passion. This is part of your job, and that's why I let you run the show.
And I'd love to hear from you because you have your experience as a former administrator.
Right.
Stay tuned. We'll be back. More conversation. The Pick Sports Line presented by Taylor right here on 790 Sports Radio 96.7.